This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Oh, no! Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Well, as I said, we're constantly focusing on overcoming COVID-19, but amid the fight, what about all the other types of healthcare that we need? We've heard about doctor's offices closing, elective surgeries being canceled, home care not happening. Now, Canadians, especially those over 65, also need eye care. Dr. Joshua Smith is an optometrist whose patients are primarily in that age group, and he's with us to talk about how care has changed, especially urgent care versus routine care because of the pandemic. Now, if you have questions for him, please feel free to call 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And now I'd like to welcome Dr. Joshua Smith, president of the Ontario Association of Optometrists. Hello, Dr. Smith.
Hi, Libby. Thanks for having me today.
Okay. Thank you for coming on. So tell us what's happening. I mean, people need, I guess, routine eye care. And the older you are, the more important it is.
Absolutely, and that's a message that we are always putting out there. And during this pandemic, though, it has changed a little bit because of what restrictions are happening around the province that you referenced in your introduction. Routine care, we've had to suspend routine care under orders from the provincial government for a number of reasons. Number one, we want to ensure that we're not contributing to the spread of COVID-19. By having patients filling our usual schedules and our usual exam rooms. So we've been restricted to providing urgent care and emergency care only. And this is crucial for a couple of reasons. The one I just mentioned is one, but also because we're trying to help ensure that people with urgent or emergent eye conditions aren't having to face the choice between sitting at home and just hoping it goes away or going to an emergency room where they might be nervous about actually being exposed to the virus.
Give me some examples of what emergency care, what would cause emergency care?
Sure. So anything that you can imagine, like a red eye, so something you might think is an eye infection, or any kind of symptoms that are sudden. So things like a sudden change in vision or a sudden sort of sudden symptoms like flashes of lights or floaters in the vision, something that's certainly something that comes on all of a sudden. That would be one example. There are also many of your listeners, I'm sure, that see their optometrist regularly for eye conditions that are being managed, like macular degeneration or glaucoma, and they may be concerned about sudden or sort of even gradual changes to their vision related to their disease. So those patients also, we want those patients to have access to their optometrist during this time to either get more guidance or actually change their treatment protocol, or even if they need an update on their medication, certainly for glaucoma patients who are taking medication on a regular basis in the form of eye drops to control their disease.
So what about people, for instance, I'll say, even the last time I saw my optometrist, he said, you should really, be checked every 6 months as opposed to every year because, one of your eyes maybe is premacular. What about people who need that type of follow-up?
Yeah, that's where we're kind of in a holding pattern right now in the province, because those kind of routine care visits are suspended by the order of the provincial government. So those types of visits, if there's a sudden change or there's something that's new that you're worried about, you should reach out to your optometrist to have a consultation by phone or even by video conference. If it's a matter of something that we're going to manage after this sort of pandemic has come down, you're going to see your optometrist coming back and trying to reschedule hundreds and hundreds of people after that have all been canceled during this time. And your doctor is going to know best at what your risk level is, and they're going to work with you to make sure that you're seen in a timely manner. I know in my practice, we're going week by week, and we're contacting every patient that had an exam or a visit booked with us and talking to them about any concerns that they have, talking to them about any follow-ups and what the timeline might be going forward. But it's hard right now, of course, because we don't know for sure when we're going to be able to resume seeing our regular patients in for routine care.
And again, with the emergency care, so would you do that again with a phone call or a video conference or something like that?
Yes. So that's the first stage. So there's a few stages that we can go through if we need to. So the first step certainly is to review the symptoms and talk by phone or video chat with our patients to talk about what their symptoms are or what's going on. And if we can actually do, just like if you've done this with your family doctor, it would be the same sort of thing. If we can assess the condition and start a treatment or move forward just through a phone or a video call, then that's what we'll do. But if there's something that needs to be seen in person, and there's a real concern of a vision-threatening condition, and you need to be seen in person, there are optometrists that have personal protective equipment that are seeing patients for urgent care visits, and they're following all of these same protocols that they're hearing about from hospitals and other healthcare providers to be able to see people in person. And they're still working with their community ophthalmologists as well for those that need even more advanced care and need to be seen in person as well. So those are still available, but it's certainly much, much more restricted than it was a couple of weeks ago.
So would that happen at the optometrist's office, or is it a house call? I mean, how does that happen?
It would happen at the office, where we can really control the environment and keep it clean and keep it safe for the doctor and the staff and the patient, of course, to make sure that anyone coming in for that visit is going to be safe to do so. So what we do at our office, for example, is we're bringing people in sort of one at a time. They are waiting out in their car until it's their time to come in. Then they are called. They come into our office. They're given a mask. Everyone else in the office is also wearing personal protective equipment. And the examination happens with as little sort of discussion or talk as possible. As we know, this disease is spread very easily through droplets from the breath. And so the masks and also the restriction of talking really helps. And anyone who's had an eye exam knows the doctor and the patient have to get fairly close to each other. So that's where the risk is greatest. And after the examination is done, the patient can leave, go back out to their car, and then the doctor can speak to them by phone to give them the follow-up and sort of give them the results. So it's done in as safe a way as possible. If the doctor needs to get a firsthand look at the eye.
Let me ask you this. So how many patients would you see on a normal day, and how many patients are you seeing this way?
That's a great question. So normally in our office, there are just two of us in our little rural practice. And we would see anywhere from 40 to 50 patients a day with the two doctors there. Now we're down to probably seeing an average of 5 cases a day by phone or video consult, and in person, probably 1 or 2, or even 0, depending on the day. But we're available to our patients every day. And again, our main goal is to make sure that we're helping people have a choice outside of going to the ER. And we want that not only for individuals and for our patients, but for the system as a whole. We want to reduce the strain and the burden on the emergency room.
Okay. I'm going to take a call from Margaret in Toronto. Hello, Margaret.
Oh, hi, Libby. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Are you taking great care of yourself?
Yes, yes.
In this time of need. Anyway, what I want to tell you is regarding my eye. That's the focus of the call. Just a moment. Where is it? I went to, I have a procedure going with my eye. At the back of my eye is a retinal problem. And I was very reluctant to go on my appointment. And my girlfriend was more or less scared to take me, but I had no other way of going. And I know this is a very important procedure because I don't want my eye to go blind or anything like that. It's very, very valuable as any other part of your body. So I put on gloves. She gave me rubber gloves, and I had my mask on. So I went to the clinic, and she stayed in the car. She wasn't allowed in, and I had to stay outside the door. It was the Toronto Eye Clinic on Finch. Very good. I went and I think I was the only person, or another person was there, patient, and they had very few chairs. But they were very swift and very, very good and very cautious. They all had gowns on and they had masks on. And I went through one procedure, had to read the letters, and then I had to go for the eye test. And finally, I went to Dr. Yu and he injected my eye.
And when was this, Margaret?
When you go out, take your gloves off and throw it out, and I could hardly see anything. I was trying to wave to my girlfriend to come and get me.
Margaret,
so I went in the car,
Margaret.
And I changed my gloves, and I threw it out, and also my mask, and I got a new one.
And Margaret,
I'm safe at home, so
Margaret,
don't worry about it. Just go for your procedure. It's very important.
Margaret, can you hear me? Margaret, yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
When was this? When did you?
This was last Thursday.
Okay, so yeah, and you're feeling fine at home. Thanks.
Yeah,
yes?
I'm home. I'm not going anywhere. I'm home. I'm so scared every day. I fear because I feel I'm in a cage and I don't like it. I like to go out and breathe and do things, you know. And this kind of virus, which is so terrible, reminds me of Passover when all those horrible things came down before Moses got the Jews out of Egypt, out of Pharaoh.
The plagues,
and
yeah.
I only pray to God, every day I pray to God that this should end and everybody should be safe and no more deaths. If people obey the government and do the right things, perhaps we could lessen the amount of virus going on.
Margaret,
and
yes,
move forward.
You take care and thanks
you,
for your call.
You
A lot of people are going stir crazy. I think it's safe to say, Dr. Smith, I guess procedures like Margaret's are going on. They're considered urgent.
Yes, and certainly the procedure that Margaret described is likely to address a vision threatening condition. So those are the types of procedures that, you know, waiting 8 weeks or, you know, how 4 weeks or even delaying it by a period of time increases her risk of vision loss. And so those are the types of cases that that doctors are prioritizing. And as she described, you know, it sounds like her, she's talking about her visit to her ophthalmologist to do this injection. You know, if you've gone in for those visits, you're normally expecting to be there in the presence of probably dozens of other people waiting for her to see the doctor. And she went in and was one of maybe two people in the room. So you can see how there's a lot of changes that doctors are making to make keep their patients safe and make sure that those with those vision threatening conditions are being seen.
I'm going to go right to the phones. We've got Hal in Kitchener. Hello, Hal.
Yeah, good afternoon. I was wondering if the doctor could tell me if HSV is a concern. They've been treating it for some time, and now I'm off the list. I had a date set for an appointment, but they canceled all of those, as the doctor was saying. But what about HSV? Is that a situation that should be ongoing and treated?
And Dr. Smith, can you please tell us what HSV is first?
Well, herpes simplex.
Oh,
in the eye.
Yeah. It's thanks for the question, Hal. It's the same virus that causes shingles. So anyone who's had shingles knows what that feels like.
Yes.
But it can affect your eye, of course, as Hal's referring to. So the question, Hal, comes down probably mostly to whether it's if you have an active eye condition or not. And if it's an active eye condition, you likely will have symptoms. You know, you'll have some pain or some blurry vision. Your eye would be red. And it depends on the stage of treatment and whether it's controlled or not as to whether they would need to see you. Hal brings up a really good... Sorry, go ahead, Hal.
Yeah, no, I had an appointment scheduled, and they canceled it. So I guess they're considering that it's not that serious, when in fact, I could, you know, lose the sight eventually. It can cause problems. It can, you know, scar tissue over the pupil. It can do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. The good thing about HSV is that it can certainly be it can be dormant for long periods, especially if it's under treatment.
It was 50 years between my two bouts.
Mm. So if you're if you have concerns about it, Hal, I think your best bet is to give your optometrist office a call try to talk to them by phone, or they do, as I say, do a video consult too if you have that technology, and they'll be able to kind of help answer your concerns and talk about whether or not you need to be seen in person. And that's one way just to at least get some kind of an update, and they can review your file probably right there on the phone and see what the history is and what their level of kind of concern is. And if you're having symptoms, for sure call and get that consult.
Good advice. Let's go to Mike in Mississauga. Hello, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I have believe it or not, appointment today with an ophthalmologist at 3:15, but they've closed their office temporarily.
Yeah.
And this one's kind of troubling to me. Basically, my eye problem is I have a floater. I discovered it at the end of December. I've been waiting almost 3 months for this appointment.
So a floater can be certainly concerning, especially they tend to sort of show up all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so, this might be a floater on its own. Your ophthalmologist might be, and I can't know for sure, but might be considering this to be not urgent right now. They have to sort of judge based on your symptoms and other tests that actually can be kind of done remotely a little bit to figure out if they're worried about whether you're having a retinal problem or not. And if there's a concern about a retinal problem, then that would be something that would likely be seen urgently. But you should be able to have a phone or a video consult done. I think that many offices are doing that. And if not through the ophthalmologist, then through your primary care optometrist, that would be the other venue.
So I don't have the internet and I don't have a cell phone. I don't have that kind of technology.
You should be able to do it even just over the phone you're using right now to just have a phone consult. So with my office, we're doing them both. For example, we're doing for our patients phone or video. And if video is not an option, and we're out in the rural parts of Eastern Ontario, so the internet service isn't always the best. So we're doing a lot of phone calls as well, and doing a lot of phone consults.
Good luck with that, Mike. It's good to know that they are answering the phone. Thanks so much for your call. Okay. Dr. Smith, on another note, doctors and optometrists and dentists who have been ordered to basically close their offices, I mean, they're small businesses. Is that a concern for your members?
Yeah, thanks for that question. That is an excellent question, and it is very much a concern. I mean, businesses across Ontario, there's hundreds of thousands of small businesses across Ontario, and optometrists are sort of part of that because our clinics are independent facilities. And we're all very, very worried about not only just our patients and our businesses, but our staff, whom we've had to lay off in large numbers. And we're hopeful that some of these federal programs that have been announced in the last few days will allow us to support our staff and to keep our businesses running. But we are caught in a bit of a funny place because everyone's heard about this COVID benefit, this CERB, and that looks like it's not going to apply to healthcare providers because we're continuing to work and provide urgent care, even though it's very reduced. So our members are certainly concerned about that and concerned about how they're going to keep their practices running and keep their staff employed and, rehire them after the pandemic is over.
This new benefit that was announced yesterday, which is subsidizing 75% of salaries up to a maximum of $58,000. For anybody who's shown revenues go below, like lose more than 30%, is that something that will help your members?
We're certainly hopeful that it will. That verbal announcement yesterday is pretty much what you just said is pretty much what we know about it too. There's not a ton of detail yet, and we understand that the federal government's working as quickly as they can to get that out. But we're certainly hoping that'll help our members most. Optometry practices, I would say all optometry practices will certainly be eligible based on what they've said verbally, but we're waiting for more details, and we're hopeful that it will help us get our staff back to work.
Uh-huh. And, so I guess the important message here is that people, even if they see that their optometrist's office is closed, they can reach that person. And if it's urgent, they will be able to get the care they need and hopefully be able to do that without having to go to an emergency ward.
That's the idea. Our whole goal here is to help keep people from having to face the choice between going to overwhelmed emergency rooms with their urgent eye care issues or just suffer at home with no care. We want there to be that other option, which is to talk to their optometrist. And if they don't have an optometrist, to reach out to one that they can speak to. And I'll say, there's online or even I think by phone, you can access this information as well. Through the College of Optometrists of Ontario, which is our regulator, you can look, they have a great find a doctor tool that lists all optometrists in the province, but also lists every optometrist who is able to see people in person for urgent care issues. So that is a searchable item on there. And our own website at the Ontario Association of Optometrists, we have a very easy to use and comprehensive find a doctor tool as well. That the public can access. These are open to everybody to use and to try to find help if they, for some reason, can't access their optometrist or they don't have one.
Mm-hmm. How many optometrists are there? How many members do you have?
So there's about 2,500 optometrists across the province of Ontario, and we're in pretty much almost every community you can think of, from Hearst to Thunder Bay to obviously downtown Toronto, Windsor, Ottawa, everywhere in between. Over 200 communities across the province.
And you were discussing, the PPE, the personal protective equipment that the optometrists wear when they have to see patients and that they give to the patients. Are you okay on supplies of that? We keep hearing about shortages and governments moving in to try and source it. How are you doing with that?
I would say our supplies are extremely limited. And in fact, most offices, the majority of offices are not seeing patients in their office for that reason. Without the equipment, it's just not safe to do so for the patient or for anyone else in the building. So the limitations there are acute, and we know that the government is trying their best to get this materials out to healthcare providers. But obviously, hospitals, if they're struggling to have the supply, then we know that we're going to be struggling as well. That's why that college list on the college website showing all the doctors that have personal protective equipment and are open to seeing patients for urgent care visits in person if needed after a phone or video consult. That's why that list is important. Those are the folks that the practitioners that have the equipment needed.
We only have a small number of seconds left. What would you like to leave us with, Dr. Smith?
I'd just like to sort of reassure everyone that their optometrist is going to be there for them if they have an urgent issue in this time. And it's really confusing for everybody, we know. And if there's any, worries about how to access that care, reach out to your optometrist, go to the association website, the college website, or call the toll-free numbers that you can access them and ask who you can see or what you can do about an urgent issue. We want to help people either be comfortable at home and stay out of the emergency rooms and not have to worry about their vision.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Joshua Smith, President of the Ontario Association of Optometrists. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Libby.
Okay, and that's all the time we have for today.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.